Well, if you have your Bible, we'll read, please, from Revelation chapter 6, the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, and it's chapter 6. For those who don't have their own Bibles with them tonight, there are, of course, the pew Bibles, so we trust that there is one of the pew Bibles within your reach. But let's follow the reading of the Word of God, Revelation and chapter 6, and we'll begin to read, please, at verse 9. Revelation 6 and verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? One announcement that I ought to mention is, please remember Billy Burton in prayer. Billy, of course, is not able to be out with us. Billy lost his brother-in-law during the past week. So remember Billy in prayer, and do pray that God will comfort him and help him as he comes to terms with the loss of a brother-in-law. Well, could we please stand for prayer just before we come to the Word of God tonight? Let us all stand as we pray, and let us look to the Lord for his help tonight as we consider the persecuted church on this Remembrance Sunday evening. Let's pray that God will help us to realize just how much certain believers have to suffer for their faith. Lord, we pray for heaven to come down, our souls to greet, and for glory to crown the mercy seat. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt come down and bless us now as we gather around your word. And we pray, Lord, that as we consider the suffering church tonight, and we consider the agony and the pain, and, Lord, the cruelty that thy people in many countries have to endure, Lord, we ask that thou wilt awaken us. Lord, we recognize that in the West, Lord, we have it so easy. We know so little of the persecution that is taking place in other lands. So come, Lord, we pray. Thank you for your help this morning. But Lord, this is a new meeting, and we need your help as we come to gather around your word. And I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, he undertakes for me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Whenever we think about persecution, we could go away back in history and we could go right back to the 1400s and we could talk about the Spanish Inquisition. During the Spanish Inquisition, 5,000 people, it is estimated, were put to death by the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church. We could speak tonight about the terrible persecutions of believers in the 1700s. And you know, tonight we could take the time, although we don't have the time to do it tonight, but we could take the time to talk about the St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre in the year 1572. I don't know whether you've ever heard of the St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre, but on that day, some 30,000 French Protestants were brutally put to death and assassinated by the Roman Catholic Church. If we were tonight to think about the 20th century, where would we begin when it comes to persecution? You know, it is estimated that during the 20th century, more Christians were martyred in that one century than in the previous 19 centuries put together. Many, many thousands, indeed millions of Christians were cruelly murdered simply because they placed their faith in Christ, simply because they pledged allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, tonight our study is not the history of persecution, but persecution in today's world. And friends, I trust that we understand that there is much persecution of Christians in today's world. I would say that there is more persecution in the world at the present time than has ever taken place before. I would say that in the world today, there is more persecution of Christians than there has ever been in the history of humanity. Now, I want to bring it right up to date tonight. I want to bring it up to the year 2011, this current year. But I not only want to bring it to this year, but I want to bring it to this month, November 2011. Now, we're getting right up to date. And not only do I want to bring us right up to this year of 2011 and this month of November, but I want to bring us right up to this past week. And the accounts that I am about to read are of persecutions that have taken place during this past week. And tonight, I want us to focus on the land of Nigeria. Now listen to the accounts of what has happened in Nigeria over the past week. Monday passed. At least 65 Christians were killed on Monday as extremists targeted churches. Scores of people have died in a series of coordinated gun and bomb attacks by Islamist militants in northern Nigeria. The extremists have already claimed responsibility for the attacks, which targeted churches in particular. The violence is thought to have claimed at least 65 lives, with some sources suggesting figures as high as 150. The death toll is expected to rise as hospitals update casualty numbers. Many people are said to be fleeing from the region after the multiple attacks reduced police stations and churches to rubble. So that's 65 minimum Christians murdered on Monday past in Nigeria. That's the minimum. It could be anything up to 150 Christians murdered on Monday past. What about Tuesday? From the same country, Nigeria. Two worshippers were killed and at least 12 were injured in an armed raid on a church. And at least 6 other churches were bombed during a spate of widespread attacks by Islamist militants in northern Nigeria that has left around 150 people dead. The church in Kaduna State, northern Nigeria, was targeted during a prayer meeting. As the meeting was drawing to a close, gunmen burst into the building and fired at the congregation, which consisted mainly of women and children. 2 women died at the scene, while at least 12 other people were wounded. Some were said to be in a critical condition. That's the threat that these people are under, but they still come to the prayer meeting. And I'm sure they'll continue to come to their prayer meetings. How can we turn around and say, don't think I'll bother going to the prayer meeting tonight? Now, friends, oh, that we had the spirit of these persecuted Christians who, in the midst of bloodshed and brutality, are still prepared to come to the house of God. They're still prepared to be in the prayer meeting. Now, I don't think this Thursday night, as we meet for prayer, I don't think that we'll be under the threat of gunmen bursting into the building. It hasn't happened yet. I don't envisage that it will happen this Thursday night. But I wonder, will you join with us for prayer? There are so many other reports that we could read. Let me take you back to Wednesday the 9th of November. Now, this is in the land of Kenya. 2 people were killed and 3 injured in a suspected Islamic militant grenade attack on a church compound in eastern Kenya. The explosives hit a house belonging to a church elder within the grounds of the church late on Saturday, killing the elder's son and a member of the church choir. A woman and her 2 grandchildren were injured in the blast. A witness said that she heard the attackers say after the explosion, "It is just the beginning." The National Police Deputy Spokesman said that the attack in the predominantly Muslim town could be religiously motivated and Islamic sympathizers may have been responsible. Earlier that day, a police vehicle that was escorting a UN convoy struck a landmine in a refugee camp, which is housing around 500,000 refugees from the war and famine-ravaged Somalia. Kenya sent troops into neighboring Somalia last month to fight the Islamist militants, whom it accuses of being behind a spate of kidnappings and cross-border attacks. Over 80% of the Kenyan population is Christian, while Muslims comprise around 8%. Tensions between the 2 groups are at an unprecedented level, and violent outbreaks are increasingly common. We could read on tonight, but for the sake of time, we'll not. But I trust that you get the picture tonight about the kind of things that are happening to Christians in our world today. Could you believe it that 65 believers would be cruelly cut down in one day simply because they follow Jesus Christ? This is the kind of thing that's happening on a daily basis in our world. Persecution is taking place today. I want you to turn again to Revelation chapter 6. Because Revelation chapter 6 speaks to us of those who are persecuted for their faith. And the picture here we have in this chapter is of those who have been martyred for their faith. In verses 9 through to 11 of the chapter, we're given a description of those who were martyred and who have gone to be with the Lord. They've gone on to their eternal reward. And I want you to notice, friends, first of all, the martyr's crime. The martyr's crime. What was the crime of these martyrs in Revelation chapter 6? Notice verse 9, their crime. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. These Christians were martyred, they were murdered, simply because they believed in Christ Jesus. Now, friends, I trust you realize that in the world in which we live, as far as most people are concerned, it is an offense. It's a capital offense to believe in Jesus Christ. That's the attitude of the vast majority of people. You see, tonight we have been reading about martyrs and people who have been murdered for their faith. But let me tell you the reality. If the devil had his way, you and I would also be martyred. If the devil had his way tonight, you and I would also be dead. If evil men had their way, you and I would be dead. If those Islamist extremists that murdered those 65 Christians in Nigeria on Monday, if they had their way, you and I would also be dead. We wouldn't be here tonight. But there's one person who restrains them. It's the Lord Himself. There is a restraining force, you know. You see, the Lord does not permit the devil and his agents to cut down all of his people. Where would we be without the Lord? If it wasn't for the protective care of God upon you and me, we too would be martyrs. Now let me just make it really, really close at hand. Let me just bring it right into our community tonight. Do you know that there are people in this community who, if they had their way, they would make you and I martyrs? There are people in Londonderry tonight, and if God was to permit them to do it, they would quite happily take your life and take my life simply because we are Christians. You see, friends, that's the evil, the hatred, and the bitterness in the heart of sinful man. But it's good to know tonight that we have one who watches over us, and one who protects us, and one who does not permit the enemy to have his way. You see, let's face reality tonight. Those of us who are Christians are like sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, how is it possible for sheep to survive in the midst of wolves unless the shepherd protects the sheep? Let's be done with this notion that the ungodly somehow are the friends of Christians and the friends of the church. That's not the case. In the heart of the ungodly is a deep, hidden hatred and bitterness for the Church of Christ. And that hatred and bitterness has manifested itself in the land of Nigeria, and it continues to manifest itself in many other parts of the world. Now, before we move on, I want you to pay close attention to a word that's used there in verse 9. It's the word slain. You see, these martyrs who are in heaven, they were slain. That word slain in the original literally means butchered or slaughtered. Butchered or slaughtered. These individuals were butchered, they were slaughtered because they believed in Jesus Christ. And you know, friends, tonight in our world, there are still those who are being butchered and slaughtered for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is the reality. This is not pie in the sky. We're not talking about fairy tales now. This is not some fictional account that we're making up. This is reality. The martyrs crying. But then secondly, I want you to notice tonight the martyrs cry. The martyrs cry. What do the martyrs cry out from the brazen altar in heaven? You notice what they say in verse 10. How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? What is the martyr's cry? Vengeance. Vengeance. Oh, surely that couldn't be. I can just hear people saying, I can just hear the ecumenists and the modernists say, oh, surely not Christians praying for vengeance. That's exactly what they're praying for. Now, this is not retaliation. There's a difference in retaliation and vengeance. You see, vengeance is all about justice. These believers who are now in a place of eternal safety under the altar, they're crying to God for vengeance, that God would bring judgment upon those who took their lives on earth. They're praying that the people who murdered them while they were on the earth, they're praying that God will judge them, that He will bring vengeance upon them. And it's interesting to notice here how they pray. You see, it says they cried with a loud voice. A loud voice. That word loud in the original is the word megas. It's the Greek word megas. You've heard the word mega. Mega store. You hear people today talking about mega churches. Mega. Something that is of great size. Something that is massive. Something that is extremely large. Something that is enormous. In mathematics, the prefix mega indicates multiplying by a factor of 1 million. So the idea here is that the individual prayer of these martyrs is being multiplied 1 million times. In other words, this is a prayer that God Almighty cannot ignore. And He cannot say no to this cry. And you see, this cry, this prayer will be granted. And that brings me on to the martyr's comfort. We read in verse 11, and white robes were given unto every one of them, And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Oh, here's the martyrs' comfort. Notice the comfort of these martyrs. You see, yes, while they were here on earth, they were cruelly cut down, cruelly murdered. But now they're in heaven. They're under the altar. And the altar is the brazen altar, the place of sacrifice, the place where the blood of the animal sacrifices took place, where the place where the blood of the animal sacrifices fell. It was the place of substitution, the place of atonement. And because of the atoning work of Christ, the substitutionary work of Christ upon the cross, these martyrs have been brought into the very presence of God, right into the Holy of Holies, as it were. And they're in the presence of God, and they're safe on that eternal shore. And it tells us here that they're given white robes. White robes were given unto every one of them. And it says that they should rest yet for a little season. The word rest there literally means refreshment. Be refreshed. They were told to refresh themselves. They were in a place of refreshment. Oh, the comfort of these martyrs. They wouldn't swap their position with our position. No way. And I want to tell you, friends, that those believers who have been murdered in Nigeria this past week, if you were to give them the opportunity to swap with us tonight and to come back to earth, they would say, thanks, but no thanks. Oh, they would much rather stay where they are. You see, they're in the place of comfort. I want you to notice that their cry for vengeance was not rebuked. These believers are praying to the Lord to take vengeance on the persecutors, the people who murdered them whenever they were upon the earth. Now, some would say, oh, well, surely the Lord will rebuke them and say, that's not a very Christian thing to do, to pray for vengeance. But no, the Lord doesn't rebuke them. So that tells me that he approves of their cry for vengeance. And the Lord is going to answer their prayer. Now that brings me on to the later part of the chapter, to the end of the chapter. Notice with me verses 15 to 17. Now, keep in mind the prayer of the martyrs. They have prayed to the Lord for him to take vengeance on the persecutors of the Church of Jesus Christ. Now the Lord, in verses 15 to 17, answers their prayers, and the vengeance comes. Verse 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Here's the boys who murdered the Christians in Nigeria last week. This is what they say whenever the time for vengeance comes. Those Islamic militants who murdered those 65 Christians on Monday. We have them described right here in Revelation 6. Vengeance has come. As far as the Lord is concerned, you can run from him, but you can't run forever. You can try to hide from God, but the Lord will hunt you out. And any persecutor of the Christian church, any murderer of a Christian, whether it's in our nation or in another nation, they may well try to hide and try to skulk away in some corner, but I tell you, God will go after them, and God will find them someday, and He will bring vengeance down upon their heads. That is, unless they repent. And you see, the Lord is so gracious and He's so merciful that even if a persecutor, a murderer of Christians, if they repent, the Lord will have mercy upon them. The Lord will forgive them. He did it for Saul of Tarsus, one of the greatest persecutors of Christians who ever lived. But I tell you, friends, tonight, for the persecutor of Christians who refuses to repent and refuses to turn to Christ, the time for vengeance will come. There's a day of reckoning coming. Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, we've been talking about persecutors tonight, murderers of Christians, and the judgment that's coming upon them someday. But I wouldn't like to miss out anybody in this meeting tonight. Because if you're not saved, if you're not born again, you're going to experience this vengeance too. Will you say, well, I've never persecuted Christians. I've never harmed a Christian. Ah, but you've persecuted the Son of God. You've rejected the Son of God. You've trampled upon His blood. You've said in your heart that you don't need His salvation. You've said in your heart, your church is good enough. Your religion's good enough. Your best efforts are good enough. And your rituals and your ceremonies are good enough. And you don't need the cleansing of His blood. Friend, if you carry on in that attitude, I'm warning you tonight on the authority of the Word of God, God will take vengeance upon you. Now, notice the foolishness of these people here. You see, in verse 15, it tells us that they cried to the mountains and the rocks and the dens. And they hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Can you see how foolish man is here? It's impossible to hide from God. It's impossible to escape from God. And yet we have these foolish individuals here who somehow think that it's possible to do that. Now, notice where they hide, or where they try to hide. They hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. As one old preacher put it, they made the mistake of hiding in the rocks instead of the rock. You see, these men should have hidden in the rock of ages. Before this day of wrath came, they should have and they could have hidden in Christ, the rock of salvation. But instead, they're foolishly trying to hide in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And their efforts to do this, all their attempts to hide away from God, will fail. Because it's impossible for those who have rejected Christ, it's impossible for those who have persecuted His church to hide themselves from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Then I want to finish tonight with one final thought. Not only the martyr's crime, and the martyr's cry, and the martyr's comfort, but then the martyr's companions. The companions of the martyrs. We're told about their companions in verse 11. If you go back to verse 11, it tells us there, "And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season." Now mark that phrase, a little season. There's just a little season. There's just a short time until judgment will come. There's just a short time before the Lord will return. The end is near. It's just a little season that these martyrs have to wait. My friend, that should cause you to be alarmed if you're not saved tonight. Because the Lord is saying to you tonight in this meeting that there's just a little season before the end will come. There's just a short time before Christ will return and will take vengeance upon his enemies. But notice the companions. "It was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." You see, though many martyrdoms have taken place, there are still some martyrdoms that still will take place. There are still believers who are going to be murdered for their faith. Do you know the old devil rejoices every time a Christian is martyred? But you know he's a fool. Aye, he's a big fool. He rejoiced whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. And you know the devil thought whenever Christ died on Calvary, "I've defeated him. I've got him now. I've finished him. I have destroyed God's plan of salvation." But had he destroyed God's plan of salvation? Not at all. The Lord Jesus Christ, by his death upon the cross, actually brought to the devil the greatest defeat that he had ever experienced. The Lord Jesus Christ, by his death on Calvary's cross, destroyed death. And he defeated the devil, and the devil has never recovered since, and he will never recover from the humiliating defeat of the cross. And you know, every time a Christian is martyred for their faith, just like the Christians in Nigeria this past week, every time one of those believers is martyred, the old devil makes the same mistake of rejoicing over their death. He thinks that he's triumphed again, but he hasn't. You see, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Do you know what's going to happen in Nigeria? The church is going to spread like wildfire. Maybe we need a little persecution. I wonder, are you prepared to be persecuted? Are you prepared to be despised for the cause of Christ? I wonder if it came to the choice of renouncing Christ or being martyred, I wonder what we would choose. I trust tonight that we'll remember the persecuted church. And I trust that the Lord will impart to us something of their spirit.